The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back to the program. Glad you're all here on a Wednesday, middle of the week, and much to discuss. So we may have missed some of you yesterday. We apologize for that. But we had a pretty in-depth conversation about the newest allegations from USA Today leveled against the athletic department at LSU. Some interesting comments by Kenny Jacoby, one of the three authors on the USA Today story.
Some of these laws are pretty unequivocal. LSU policies and Title IX and another law, the Cleary Act, require reporting of these allegations to designated officials on campus. And, you know, our reporting has established that those things did not happen because many of the women told us that, you know, they were never contacted by the Title IX office. So you can't have an investigation if you don't speak to the person at the center of it. So I think it's pretty clear LSU officials failed to follow the rules in many of these cases. What the Department of Ed would say, you know, you're right, I can't speak to that.
Kenny Jacoby. Meanwhile, Mac Jones, could he be the next Joe Burrow? Well, not a lot of people knew about him a couple of years ago. And right now, he is a Heisman contender. So there are some interesting comparisons. This team's only ranked number one in the country. His QBR is unreal, 95.6 yards per attempt, completions first, pass TDs and FBS. He's doing pretty well, wouldn't you say? There's another team in the state of Alabama, the Auburn Tigers. And they have a big one this weekend. And Gus Malzahn saying, hey, don't forget about Tennessee. A lot of people forgot about Tennessee 2 years ago when the Tigers last hosted the Vols on the Plains. And they lost. It was Jeremy Pruitt's signature win so far at the University of Tennessee. Gus Malzahn.
This year is you're taking everybody serious. I mean, we will rely on our leaders, but you can't overlook anyone. And like I said, they got the majority of their guys back, you know, from last year, and they had, a 6 or 8 game win streak. So, you know, we got to have our A game every single week. We're taking it one game at a time. I know that sounds like coach speak, but that's exactly what we're doing. We have respect for them. Like I said, 2 years ago, they came in here and knocked us off. And so this is the next game up. And like I said, we played our best game 2 weeks ago. We got to keep building upon it, and it's really as simple as that. And, I think our guys will not be overlooking anyone and be ready to play.
Nobody better at coach speak than that man. Tennessee and Auburn might be heading in different directions, coach. You built them up well, though. Tennessee's 0-4 since October 10th. Auburn 3-1. Yards per game, QBR. That's the QBR difference is wider than the Grand Canyon. Turnovers, Tennessee-Auburn, Saturday night, 7 p.m., ESPN. Meanwhile, on Rocky Top, remember a couple weeks ago, Fulmer gave Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension. Looks like Pruitt's given Fulmer one. Actually, that's not the way it goes, but Coach Fulmer has received a 2-year contract extension. Apparently, this happened a couple of months ago. And is just now getting out. But, hey, he deserves it. He's the athletic director, and he is a legend in Knoxville. Meanwhile, more games have been postponed. Houston, yeah, we have a problem. SMU-Houston postponed due to COVID. I believe, let me think, is that the 12th game of the week already having been scrubbed? Only one in the SEC, fortunately, unlike last week when there were four. But the first 9 weeks of the season, only 30 games have been postponed or canceled. Last 3 weeks, 37, including 12 this week. And we are at midweek, and I sadly report we are probably not done yet. So that's where we are. Busy, busy Wednesday afternoon. I don't know why I'm talking like that, but Dan Mullen will be among the guests that will be joining us here at the bottom of the hour. Some really good guests on the program. We start with Dan. Tim Brando. How do you beat that on a Wednesday afternoon? Some news about Tim that you may enjoy. McElroy later in the program. A lot of coaches are coming by as well. Tom Crean. He may have number one pick in the NBA draft tonight from coming from the University of Georgia. And Coach Flo from Auburn will join us a little bit later on. But first, your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's start with Hugh in Deep, Deep Gap, North Carolina. Hey, Hugh.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
I barely can hear you. We got a bad connection. I'll state real quick why I called you. I'm a little bit concerned about the early call the NCAA's made about the bubble deal in Indianapolis for the NCAA basketball tournament.
Why is that?
I am highly dubious about whether or not the fan base that is being lost with all of this bubble play. As an example, I don't think the NBA has ever had such a low number of eyeballs watch their finals and their tournament as they had this year in the bubble. And frankly, I think Jay Billis is right. It looks like a money grab by the NCAA for TV money. And here's my question, Paul. At what point do we have to begin to worry about getting those eyeballs and those fans back in the seats to support these athletic events? Because I'm not so sure bringing them back has been as easy as running them off. Anyhow, that's my point. I'd be interested in your comment.
Yeah, thank you, Hugh. Listen, things are down. There's no question that the NCAA tournament not being played at normal sites with full houses is going to affect. It's going, yeah, I didn't hear Jay Billis say it was a money grab, but I mean, who doesn't think it's a money grab? I mean, it's the NCAA, and they have a $1 billion tournament, and they didn't play it last year, and we've heard repeatedly they will play the tournament this year, and they're going to because it is important to the bottom line of many, many college basketball programs and overall athletic departments. So, I mean, I appreciate your concern, but in this year, which you know, we all know it's cliche to say 2020. I mean, you have to just find a way to get it done, or 21. There, you just can't say, well, you know, that's not the way we've always done it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with John, who is in St. Louis. Hey, John, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
Good. Anyway, Paul, I wanted to pick up again on the young man who passed away, University of Kentucky week before last, the offensive line coach. And I just think when unfortunate things like that happen, I'd kind of like to see the show spend more time.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Coach Schlarman. You know, we mentioned it. I thought they did a great job on the broadcast of paying tribute to him. And again, this is a man deserving of endless tribute, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up is, you know, so much talk on this show and other sports shows always, you know, they speak about a lot of the, for no better word, indiscretions and unethical behaviors that are taking place in NCAA sports now. When something like that happens, it really kind of hits home that, you know, there's so many really good people that make teams teams. And I think that young man was a great example of someone who really, you know, hung his hat on the University of Kentucky and gave it his all. So anyway, that's all I had for today.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you, John. And I think we all concur. Meanwhile, we mentioned there were 12 games canceled at the beginning of the program. There are now 13. UNLV's game with Colorado State off the board. So that is 13 games. And it's Wednesday. Let's take a break. More to come. Dan Mullen at the bottom of the hour. Tim Brando next hour. Your phone calls at 855-242-7285 are next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great you're here. We're going to get to some phone calls in a minute. Matt Zenitz from AL.com, great reporter. Down in Alabama, is reporting at this hour that Mississippi State defensive lineman Nathan Pickering has opted out. The former top recruit had 16 tackles and 2 sacks this year. So the exodus out of Starkville continues. Let's grab some more calls. And Danny is up next. Hey, Danny, you're on the show. Good afternoon. Danny, you there? Apparently not. Either that or he can't hear me. One way or the other. How about Jason is up next. Hey, Jason, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, second time coming in, but, you know, Georgia got some good news with, I don't know if you saw, but Ben Cleveland kind of had a little spoiler alert saying that JT Daniels should get to play, and then Anthony Edwards should be getting the start to get in the number one draft pick tonight, so good things for dogs. But I used to grow up a Vanderbilt fan, and those doors haven't – I know we don't like to talk about them too much. They're not too exciting, but they haven't won one game this year. What's going to take Derek Mason to get fired? Do they have to lose them all?
Jason, I don't think that would be – frankly, I'm not sure that would be enough. I don't think there's much appetite for change at Vanderbilt. And, you know, he had a lot of things going against him this year, which – you know, it sounds like an excuse, and maybe it would be if you're trying to build a program up. But how long has Derek Mason been there? Since 2014?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Maybe Muschamp can take over because he's on the market now.
You know, I think Muschamp would be ideal at Vanderbilt. When I think of a Vanderbilt head coach, I see Will Muschamp's picture right in front of me.
Hey, man, I hope it happens, hopefully.
Yeah, I am.
I think Muschamp will end up on the Alabama sideline.
I think he will definitely end up at a big time school. I don't know what's going on at Vanderbilt because, you know, I mean, I hear they had a close game the other day. They played Kentucky to 3 points. They had another good game a couple weeks ago. I mean, we talk about Vanderbilt like we're giving awards out for participation trophies. I mean, shouldn't they try to win the game?
That's what I agree with. And, you know, James Franklin's on the hot seat at Penn State, so maybe they get rid of him, and then he comes back to Vanderbilt. Those are the best years they ever had.
He should have never left. I mean, he had it going there. You're absolutely right. Hey, thank you very much. Good to have you on. And Chief is up next in Ohio. Hello, Chief. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Chief, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm calling about these obscene buyouts the football coaches are getting, like at South Carolina.
Right.
And I was just wondering, the Michigan, Harbaugh, what's wrong with letting him do his fulfill his contract next year? And he won't stay because all these coaches have these egos. And he'll resign, and that would save him that $8 million buyout. But it just seems how these contracts get negotiated is just obscene from my point
of
view.
Well, there's a reason,
student athletes and the colleges.
There's a reason why that happens. And, you know, it's usually because the athletic director agrees to it. And, you know, in South Carolina's case, that's what happened. I don't know why they do. I mean, buyouts, you should have a two-way street, and it is. It costs the coach the same thing to leave as it does it costs the school to fire him. But it shows you how difficult the coaching market is and how one-dimensional it is, that it's tilted in favor of the coach. And when you have the same agent negotiating with about 80% of, at least in the SEC, athletic directors, you end up getting swindled every single time. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Mac, who is up next. Hey, Mac.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. I understand it's okay. Difficult for you to hear me, but
I
we'll figure
barely
that out.
Hear you, but yeah, wanted to ask you was, are you aware of a single situation across the country in any college program where anyone, as a result of getting the COVID virus, has suffered any deleterious or lingering or life-threatening effect from it?
Mac, I have not, no.
Well, you know, I haven't either, and it's looking more and more like the biggest casualty for football this year has just been games. We've shut the country down, we've shut football down for something that in the past, you know, how many times have you heard a player say they played with flu-like symptoms in the past? Even a very famous game back in the 70s at the Super Bowl was one with a quarterback that said he played with the flu. So, you know, how many of these people would even know?
So let me ask you. Let me ask you a question.
What weren't for testing,
Mac? What are you suggesting?
Well, I'm suggesting that I think that we ought to go back to doing this. Monitor players every day for temperatures. Any kind of abnormalities, there's no need to do the COVID test. Because once again, has anyone, staff or player related, had a serious outcome from contact with this virus? I don't know of any, and I guarantee you, had there been, we would have already known about it because it would have been.
Well, Mac, we're about to talk to someone who had COVID. Dan Mullen, and I promise you, I will ask him that very question. It's a good question, and I'm eager to hear what he has to say because he had.
If you would allow me one more thing, I asked you a few months ago if you could get in touch with an immunologist from Vanderbilt University. I've forgotten his name now. He's the one that advocated going back to doing normal stuff. But I mean, when you have Duke University, Vanderbilt, Yale, top immunologists all around the country who are saying, we need to go back to living life as normal. Why are we still where we're at?
Yeah, Mac, I personally would love to get back to normal. I'm pretty sick of this like you are, but I'm just asking you, beyond football, what else would you recommend? Didn't hear a response. It's a fair comment, and I do think he's right on one level. Well, maybe more than one level. I think I think college football has been very lucky so far, and I think we're all thankful for that, because there are still people in my business who believe it should be shut down, no questions asked. That we've had enough, but. I think you have to look at it a little bit broader than just the players. They're not the only ones involved, but they were the ones we were the most concerned about when all this began. Let's check in with Jim, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Jim, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hey there.
Just I'm having a hard time hearing you.
We're working on
that. I've been a Vanderbilt fan since 1969 when I got married and moved to Nashville. Been season ticket holder, baseball, football, basketball, off and on for 50 years now. everybody knows the story at Vanderbilt. Coach has a good year. A bigger school comes along, offers him money that Vanderbilt can't match. Derek Mason's been there going on 7 years now, and he's not had a winning season at all. Doesn't look like they're going to win any games this year. I think it's time for him to go. He's a great guy. Everybody likes him. But something's not right. Is it time for Vanderbilt to get out of the SEC, or do they just need to keep on trying to find a football coach? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Yeah, I'm going to let Vanderbilt fans answer that question. Because I think, you know, the athletic department is successful in many other things. I mean, you have one of the best baseball programs in the country there, a couple of national championships. Basketball program has struggled mightily the last two or three years, but it has shown that it can be successful. But, you know, there is a lot of frustration among Vanderbilt alums that the program is not fighting hard enough to keep up. That's a conversation. I know a little bit about the program, but not being a Vanderbilt graduate, I am not as knowledgeable as some of you. We will take a break. And when we come back, we look forward to talking to Dan Mullen, the head coach at the University of Florida.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back to the program. And it gives us great pleasure to welcome our next guest. He is the head coach of the University of Florida, Coach Dan Mullen. And Coach, thanks for being here. And I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of interesting people in the world, but I don't know anyone who has been through more ups and downs and turns and twists than you have in the last 5 weeks. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm doing good. That's 2020 for you. You know, that's my motto has become, hey, 2020, it is what it is. And, you know, you just kind of, whatever happens, happens. And we're just trying to move forward and stay positive and head in the right direction.
Well, in spite of all the roller coaster rides, your team is highly regarded. They're in the national championship and SEC contention. You have a Heisman Trophy candidate. All that is somewhat familiar to you from your former days, both at Mississippi State and Florida. But what's this? You mentioned 2020, but this season has seen some turns. What's it been like for you, and how do you feel about where your program is right now? I would suspect pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, you were happy where we are right now because we control our destiny still, and we control what's going on. And, you know, coming into this year, I think, you know, even after we finished up last year, the guys coming back, the attitude the team have, we thought, you know, we have the opportunity to have a really good season this season. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, last March, everything kind of went in completely different directions. Like, it kept going, and you know, it didn't kind of, like, turn. It just kept weaving and all of different things happening.
I'm hearing
the world.
Sound at a pretty reasonable level.
One of the things we kind of just started to, you know, we started to figure out where we were going to be. That the message is always going to be that the team that can handle adversity throughout the year. There's going to be so many different adversities that pop up. And in a normal year, you know, the adversity, hey, we lost a tough game, or hey, we dealt with a single injury or one thing or the other. But, you know, you can deal with all the different things that are going on and keep your focus on getting better each week. Is the team that's going to be successful. And we really tried to push to do that this year of, you know, all the different things that are going to happen. You know, don't worry about all these things we can't control, all the different adversities we're going to deal with. Try to stay focused, try to get better every single week. And I think we've been able to do that so far this morning.
It had to be incredibly frustrating to shut down, to have to go through everything that your squad went through.
You were learning, but other than hearing some music,
it seems like when you got to the other side of it, showed some of the resiliency. That
the music might be a little bit louder than the sound.
Quite good sense.
Well, yeah, we did. You know, I mean, it was one of those that. I think the hard one for the team at first was we'd done such a good job. We'd had so few positive tests. And then, you know, all of a sudden we kind of have, because we have so few positive tests, we get a situation where we get a kind of an outbreak on the team, and we shut everything down. And so I think part of it is like guys looking and say, Coach, we've done everything right so far, and now we're almost getting punished for it. And I said, hey, that's not the case. We knew it was going to happen. You're seeing it happen to other teams around the country right now as well. At some point, I don't know, you know what's going to happen, but you assume something could happen. And let's not lose focus. And, I was really pleased with how our guys responded. Because, you came back off of that, that 3 weeks without having to play a game, 2 weeks with no practice. You usually take a bye week where you kind of have some light practices and a week off, and now you're coming off this kind of a whole different deal. But our guys responded well, and we said, hey, we just got to get back into our form, back into playing. The first thing we told our team was on the Monday we got back was, hey, we haven't done anything in 2 weeks. We're not winning the game on a Monday. We're going to build up to Saturday. So, everyone's going to be a little bit winded on Monday. Hey, we're not going to be as sharp and crisp on Monday. But that doesn't matter. We don't have to play Monday. We don't have to play till Saturday. And our guys really bought into that. And I think we built up during the course of that week. We played a pretty good game against Missouri. And then from that point, our guys said, okay, now we can continue to take those steps. And we've done that over the last several games.
There's so many different opinions and theories on players and everyone getting COVID and then reacting to it. But you've lived it yourself with your team. Can you tell anything in the aftermath of it all in terms of what you've seen on the field and how all of you feel?
You know what? I think we've been very fortunate. I was very fortunate. I had very mild symptoms. We've had very few of our guys have had any lingering effect, if any, moving forward. And I think, for us, you don't really know, but we've been fortunate. I think, when we first got back, it took a little while for everybody to get a little bit back in shape, get going. Some of the guys were a little short of wind. I go out and run in the morning, so I kind of came back and I had to build up just a little bit more to get back in shape. But we've been really fortunate that, the after effect for our guys, we really have not had any issues.
Coach, you're a guy that's always on the move. You're doing a million things at once. I'm not laughing, I promise you, but because I wouldn't want to go through. But how did you deal with that period when you really, were fairly limited in what you could do?
Well, I would say this. One thing for me, I guess the fortunate thing that I had is I got, when I tested positive for COVID, our whole program was shut down. I don't know how Sam Pittman survived, my wife looked and said, I don't know how I could be home while we're playing a game. I know that's got to be tough for a coach. I think he's the only one in our league that's gone through that. Where as a coach, you're one of the guys, I feel for our players, because we've had players had to miss games. But fortunately for me personally, I haven't had to miss a game. And I don't know. My wife, she's like, thank goodness that happened, because I don't know how I would handle you sitting in the house on a Saturday watching the Gators on TV. That would be a struggle. But you know what? We used that time, to be perfectly honest with you. We used that time to do some research to where we are, to make some tweaks in the offense and defense. We used that time to do, one of the weeks was going to be a bye week for us anyway. So we used that time to get a little advanced game planning done like we would do in a bye week. As a staff. So, I'm pretty fortunate. I wake up in the morning and I'd isolate myself on my side of the house, and my office is right next to my bedroom in my house. So I'd wake up in the morning and go walk into my office and, get to work. And I would kind of hang out there and, go for a little bit of walk around the backyard a little bit every once in a while, wave at my family, and then get back in there and continue working. So, we're just working from home. I think one thing that has come from this, everybody's a lot more comfortable in if you have to Zoom meet, if you have to do distance meetings, that, I, I'm,
I'm probably as comfortable as I would ever want to be at doing that. I kind of like in-person stuff, but I've become comfortable at doing those things.
Talking to Coach Dan Mullen of the University of Florida, Coach, you've worked with a lot of great quarterbacks, and you're given credit for helping to develop many. Let's talk about Kyle Trask for a second, because you know, we all knew he was playing well last year, but this year he has emerged. You know, whether he wins the Heisman or not, still to be determined, but it's hard to find anyone playing better than him. Your thoughts?
You know what? I agree. I think he's to this point of the season, you know, I think he's playing as well as anybody in the country at the quarterback position. I think he has great control of our offense. I think he's surrounded by some very talented players. And I think, but he does a great job of managing that system. He, you know, does a good job, you know, with leadership and getting us in the right protections and getting things done with the offensive line. He's going to take what the defense gives you. And, you know, so like I said, when, you know, he's going to sit there and say, I'm not just going to get the ball to one guy or two guys. We have good weapons and he's going to coach those guys up, on the field, you know, If you're going to try to take away one guy, or you're going to bracket or double team one guy, he's just going to go to the next guy and trust that, you know, that guy's going to run a great route, do what he needs to do, get open. And to me, he's done a great job with his accuracy. And part of the accuracy is the timing of your decision making, of when you're getting the ball to the receiver at the right time and where you place it. And he's done an amazing job with that. And I think, you know, having been through this, you know, the one thing I'll always talk about is, you know, like you said, to this point of the season, I don't know if anybody's played better, but, you know, we're only six games in and we have a lot of football still to play. And, you know, if you want to be a great player, you know, you're going to be, you know, you're judged on your next play, not your last play. And so, you know, we got to continue moving forward in that way. But he has great maturity in handling all of those things as well. And you know, I think he has great focus on doing his job one play at a time and one game at a time.
Coach, you've been down this road before, but fans get their minds wandering toward farther and deeper into the season. But I know as a coach, you can't ever get beyond the week. But with all the attention being focused on Florida, especially in the wake of the Georgia win, how do you keep everyone calmed down and realize it's a cliche, but you can't get too far ahead of yourself?
Well, and you're exactly right. I mean, now, trust me, I mean, you have a team full of young kids. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of excitement. And we have, you know, we have great things in front of us. But I think the key is making sure everybody understands that for us to accomplish what we want, for us to compete for and win a championship, you know, we're not there yet. And not just are we not there, you know, in reality with our wins and with our record, but we're not there as a team yet to be ready to be that type of team. We still have a lot of improving we need to do. And if we're not focused on getting better this week, if we're not playing at a higher level this week than we did last week, we're not going to be a championship team. So you can plug in the opponent. There's a combination of we have to prepare for Vanderbilt and we have to prepare for how we're going to apply our offensive and defensive and special teams game plans to Vanderbilt. But, you know, it's not like that's the only time we're going to run those plays. That's not the only time we're going to run that offense or that defense. And it's are we executing and improving and preparing at a better level? So you have your focus number one, which is the task at hand on the team this week that we're playing. And focus number two is on ourselves and are we finding a way to get better? And, you know, and if you do that, it will prevent you from going kind of too far ahead and looking out because, hey, you know, I can't even focus. I got to focus on how I'm getting better today as well as how we're applying it that to this week's opponent. And if you can do that, when you get where you want to go, you're also going to have an opportunity to be successful.
Coach, we really enjoy it. Enjoy the conversations with you. We've taken a lot of your time, but we appreciate you coming by and all the best. It's been an amazing run, and we hope to talk to you again very, very soon.
Well, always great to be with you, Paul. Have a great day. Go Gators.
Thank you very much, Coach. Dan Mullen joining us from the University of Florida, an extraordinary conversation, very revealing, and we will take a break. Much more to come on the program as we continue right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, it's been a rough afternoon. We talked about 13 games postponed when we came on. We've only been on the air 50 minutes, and this is the second one we've reported. KU and Texas postponed. Good. That's actually a good day for Les Miles. He can avoid another embarrassing beating. Back to the phones we go, and Floyd is up next. Hey, Floyd, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I haven't talked to you in about 2 years, but I appreciate you taking my call today. I'm a 73-year-old, highly frustrated Tennessee football fan right now.
Sure.
And I know I'm not the only one, but, we rectified the situation when Mike Hamilton fired a quality person in Philip Fulmer, and we have brought him back. And I know he thought when he hired Jeremy Pruitt as the Tennessee coach that, and Jeremy is a quality person, and he did a great job as a defensive coordinator and also coaching defensive backs and what have you. But I'm not sure can handle the whole head coaching. He kind of tries to do things like Butch Jones did and do it all himself, and that didn't work. He does have a really great offensive staff, and he just needs to let them do their jobs and go with that freshman, teach him the Tennessee way, and let's get back to winning football games by next year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with you. Well, thank you so much, Floyd, for the call. Tyrone is up next in Georgia. Hey, Tyrone, go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum. I tell you what, I'm with Floyd. It's hard being a Tennessee fan, and I'm a Tennessee fan in Georgia. But one thing I call to talk about is how small our players are. And I don't know if it's because of the COVID, but one thing I did notice is, like our running backs, they're not quite up to the SEC, building as I would like. Our offensive line is good. Let's go ahead and start a freshman quarterback. Let's get this thing moving. Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are about ready to move on. Thanks for the call. Let's check in with Aaron in Kentucky. Hey, Aaron, go right ahead. Aaron, you there? I did not hear Aaron, so let me move along to Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you again. Been a little while. I hate to follow the coach. I'm interested, though, in your observation. You've seen them both play. Which team has the better quarterback, Florida or Alabama?
Wow. Well, that's an impossible question to really answer because Trask is probably playing better than anyone right now. Maybe I would give him an infinitesimal edge, but that's all it is. It's so slight. They both have good receivers. I don't think anyone has the kind of receivers that Alabama has, though.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. I was just interested in your observation. Thank you so much, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. We're unfortunately out of time. Well, that's a good debate. We can let somebody more knowledgeable than me answer that one. We're coming back with more right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.